Set for Success with Richard Lennon on 680 CJOB.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lennon for Set for Success, where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in your business, career, and life from a strategic planning to a leadership development perspective. I always like to start off the show letting you know that, because I think there's just so much we can actually do when it comes down to our organizations or our career or our lives. Now, I got a question for you today, and there's actually probably a multiple of questions. And today's question is this: what is it like being green in your business or in your career? What are the possible opportunities to be green in everyday life? I was chatting with a business associate of mine, a friend, about being green, and he suggested I should read an article. And the article was called Green Jobs Are Growing Like Weeds. Now, I can't take credit for what I'm about to read. So Mark Schwartz, Monster Senior Contributor Editor or Writer, wrote this, and I'm just going to do the opening. Everywhere you turn today, there's talk about the environment. Global warming, climate change, oil spills, no matter where you turn, Mother Earth is in the news. Now, I'd have to agree with that if you think about it. Just over the last few days alone, all the different things are happening down in Mexico, getting snow and floods over in the UK and big snowstorms actually down in Ontario, northern eastern United States. An upside to this huge opportunity that's spouting in green-collar jobs. All across Canada, both government and employers are talking ecology like never before. How do you, as a job seeker or maybe even a business, take advantage of the growing trend in no matter what your occupation, education, or level is? And this is what Mark Schwartz of Monsters, the senior contributing writer of Monster, starts to talk about in his article in terms of green jobs are growing like weeds. Just think about that for a second. Is being green or more green an opportunity for you and your business, your organizations? You know, and there are organizations like here in Winnipeg or in Manitoba. The MTS Center has a green program, and Walmart has a green program. NASCAR has a green program. How cool is that? How do you think about cars and being green? Even the NHL has a green program. These are corporate responsible and volunteer activities that they're engaged in. For businesses, that can be like a triple bottom line win. And we'll talk a little bit more about what a triple bottom line win business is when you're talking about green. So what about other things? What if you're a small business or an individual? Could you be green? Well, I guess you could. I mean, how many people have blue bins at home, which is a part of contributing to a green economy, you know, just by the fact that you're recycling? Or how about not idling your car for a long period of time? It all adds up. Now, since I mentioned the word idling your car for a long time, this is where we're going to start our discussion. My guest today is Ron Zima. Now, Ron, I know Ron is the idle-free guy, and so, but I think I'm going to get Ron to tell you a little bit more about himself. Ron, welcome to the show.
Richard, thanks so much. That's my cue. Idle-free guy.
Yeah, idle-free guy. That's your cue. Ron, why don't we start off there? I mean, it's great that you're called the idle-free guy, and you know what? I really do want to learn more about that, but I'd like to know a little bit about yourself first, personally. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm a father of two university-age kids. I'm originally from Edmonton.
Lived
in Winnipeg, by the way. Lived in Regina as well, so originally a prairie boy.
Okay.
I'm based in Halifax, Nova Scotia now, where I've spent more than half my life, and several different careers. And you were talking about career talk. And, of course, one of the common factoids today is if you talk to anybody graduating from university, they're getting ready for potentially 8 or 9 careers in their lifetime.
Isn't that amazing?
Things have changed, right?
Yeah, things have changed. You know, I'm what's called a gapper, and anybody listening out there, I'm not a baby boomer, I'm not a Generation X, I'm right in the middle. And that generation, the gappers, we also went through multiple careers too, and probably about 5 in our lifetimes, or 4 or 5. So it is actually quite common indeed to look at multiple careers in your lifetime, if anything at all. Now, you mentioned that, first of all, you said half your life down in Nova Scotia, the half your life out here in the West. I'm just going to say for our listeners that your best half was when you're out West.
Well, yeah, politically correctly, yes, you would say that. But I've really had an extraordinary professional life and 3 distinct careers. You could probably add a few more than that prior to, in my teens and what have you. But the main careers were radio and television across Canada, I was then busy with a sales and marketing career, helping build IT companies out here in Atlantic Canada. And in the last number of years, I've been involved with corporate responsibility and not-for-profit, and more specifically cause branding initiatives that are centered around going green. And that's what I'm doing today as the Idle Free Guy.
So, yeah, and that I think that poses a question. I mean, because you call yourself the Idle Free Guy, how did you become the Idle Free Guy? And maybe what's good to answer on that, too, is part two, is what exactly does that mean?
Well, yeah, great question. First off, I had no intention of becoming the Idle Free Guy 10 years ago when this all started at my kids' elementary school. It really started exactly 10 years ago, Richard. And
happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. When something called the Children's Clean Air Network was born at my kids' elementary school at Kingswood Elementary School here on the outskirts of Halifax. But I stepped back probably about 2 years before that. It was the summer of 2004. Little story here about the light bulb moment for me becoming the Idle Free Guy. I used to be a green guy on everything else, Richard, with regards to conserving and saving at home, from recycling to making sure the water wasn't running to turning the lights out to mulching my grass. I was a green guy on everything except idling my vehicle. Richard, I was the Canadian idler. I was the typical Canadian idler about 12 years ago when a Business Week cover story arrived in my mailbox in a hot summer day here in Halifax. And I was cooling my fuel-sipping Honda Fit in the driveway of my home office on the outskirts of Halifax. And this cover story just really... It inspired me to read further. And on the cover of the story was the magazine was an illustration of the globe on fire. And it said, global warming, why business is taking this so seriously. And I thought for a moment, wow, this isn't tree-hugging media anymore. This is Business Week magazine.
This is business. And so I'll tell you what, why don't we take a short break? When we come back, let's talk about how business is actually embracing the whole idea of going green and being idle-free. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back.
Now back to Set for Success with Richard Lannan on 680 CJOB.
Hi, it's Richard Lannan. We're back. And if you've just tuning in or if you've been listening, we've been talking about being green and what it would mean to be green. In this case here, from the Idle Guy and Ron Zima. And so, Ron, just before a break, we were talking a little bit about a magazine article. I think it was Business Week cover story that had an influence on your life. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So cover story on Business Week magazine, August of 2004. And the globe is on fire is the illustration and why business is taking this so seriously. And it's at that moment I had the light bulb moment, Richard. I looked at my remote car start in my hand and my light-duty car idling in the driveway of my outside my home office, and I wondered, what is this all that up to? I intuitively understood that, you know, idling my vehicle for the past 20 minutes to cool it off for the next trip on a hot August day probably wasn't the greenest thing to do. I read the story in Business Week, and it just blew me away. I did some more research on the numbers behind idle time, and I just couldn't get over it. I soon discovered that cities and towns across North America were all working on trying to do something about excess idle time, from cars just like mine to fleets right across North America. And I found out that it added up to well over $30 billion a year. That's billion with a B.
Wow, 30.
Idle time when we're parked going nowhere, not in traffic, just like I used to do. So that was a light bulb moment for me. And fast forward to today, from Canadian idler to, you know, the Idle Free Guy, we're now working with corporate fleets and we're really helping them get the green PR they deserve for something that is becoming a huge business opportunity.
Now, not $30 billion. I mean, I understand there is some. I was reading up some material that you did, and what I found interesting was you had some math sitting on a slide on one of your sites or something that that sort of showed you how to calculate out exactly how much you were using in terms of idle time. Do you recall what that math is offhand?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, basically, Natural Resources Canada says that we idle about $1 billion a year. This is based on a $1.15 pump price. Now, that's gone down substantially in the last little bit, but even if you were to round it off to about a buck a liter, what happens is when you idle 3 minutes a day, that equates to about $1 billion a year for the all the light-duty cars and trucks across Canada. Now, that doesn't include all the fleets out there, the corporate fleets, the big trucking fleets. So that quickly adds up. Now, we think the 3 minutes a day that Natural Resources Canada says most of us idle is low. And I know, because I used to idle at least 20 to 30 minutes a day my remote start,
whether
it was hot or cold.
On those hot summer days, you tend to idle your car, especially if it's been in the sun, and put the air conditioner on. And those, you know, being in Western Canada or Central Canada, you know, when it's minus 40 out, I mean, you run your vehicle for a little longer, you know, and to try to keep things, just to warm it up and everything, you know.
Absolutely. And I know that, you know, we've got a little bit of a tougher audience in a place like Winnipeg or my hometown of Edmonton when it's minus 30 in January, February. I'll be the first person warming my car up with some idle time. However, a lot has changed in the last 30 years. And the reason we idle over $30 billion a year across North America, from whether it be our light-duty cars and trucks or our fleets, Richard, is for two reasons. One is we're not thinking about it, or the second reason is if we are thinking about it, we're thinking about the old idle myths. And there's three of them, basically, that idle time is good time for your engine. That's completely false with today's vehicles. That restarts are hard on the starters. That's patently false, as your service tech will tell you. And by the way, don't take my word on any of this. Talk to your service tech. And that long warm-ups are needed. That, you've got to run your vehicle 30 or 40 minutes or 20 minutes like I used to do on a regular basis. That's the worst thing you can do for operating a vehicle built in the last 10 years or so today.
Yeah, so, I mean, vehicles now are highly intelligent. In essence, a new vehicle today is a computer system. It self-regulates and that. So I suspect that some of the statements that you're making are quite correct. Now, I understand that businesses really embrace this. And I know that in a conversation with you, you said, you know, Richard, this is one of the most underreported stories in business today, especially around the whole right lean rhetoric that happens in organizations where there's really a race in North America to go green. Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Absolutely. This is, and I used to work in the media. I was a news media guy for many years. And I can tell you, this is my biased opinion, but I think it's the most underreported story in business about how fast and far corporate America, yes, corporate America is racing to go green. You'd mentioned NASCAR green. Well, the first thing people might say, especially my friends in sustainability might say with regards to NASCAR green is, it's greenwashing. You know, that can't be right. You know, well, check it out. NASCAR green has got a website and you might be astounded at what they're doing. They realize that we have a public image challenge with our cars going around an oval with today's sustainability and green economy marching forward. So they're doing everything that they can to offset their sport. And there's some real interesting things going on at NASCAR Green. And in fact, Al Gore is one of their leading speakers on their circuit now. NHL Green, they've got a website. Check it out. It's phenomenal what the NHL clubs are doing. We talked about Walmart briefly. Well, Walmart is a perfect example of a little Google challenge I'll have any of your listeners take, and that is get on your computer and add any major corporate brand with the term sustainability in a simple Google search. Take Walmart as an example and see what you find. This is not greenwashing, folks. You'll see where corporate America is on this, despite all the political rhetoric in the marketplace. And you'll see that Walmart is racing towards
Being green.
Pretty lofty goals, and they are well on their way. It's remarkable.
You actually see this also, and I know we got to take a short break just and we'll come back to this one, but you see this with the Winnipeg Jets and the MTS Center too. I mean, they're part of the Green Sports Alliance. So maybe what we'll do is we'll take a short break and we'll come back and we'll talk about that. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. This is Richard Lannan, and you're listening to Set for Success, and we've been talking about what you need to do to be successful in business, career, and life. In this case, today, from a green perspective. Is your business green? Are you seeking to have a career in the green industry? And what does that exactly mean? And there's all sorts of opportunities that are presenting themselves today in the green environment. And we've actually know that at this point in time across corporate America, corporate Canada, lots of organizations are getting involved. I mean, organizations like Walmart and NASCAR and the NHL Green and even our local Winnipeg Jets and the MTS Center, they have green programs being part of the Green Sports Alliance. There's all sorts of opportunities to be green today, and we know that the millennium generation are actually going after green careers. They're taking this into consideration. So I ask you, are you green in your business, or are you looking for a green career? And I want to consider this. I bet you it has something to do with us working together and unraveling the complex issues and making business decisions towards being green and establishing a direction towards that. That being said, and being part of being set for success, we will continue our discussion on being green with the idle free guy, Ron Zimmer. I think I just messed up his name, Ron, the idle free guy. And we will also do the Set for Success tips, the things you must do in your business to be successful. We'll be right back.
Set for Success with Richard Lannan continues on 680 CJOB.
Hi, it's Richard Lannan back, and I'm with my friend Ron, the idle free guy. Ron, in the last segment, my little crossover, I messed up your last name.
Think of Noczema, Richard. You'll never forget my last name.
And I'll never forget your last name. Zima. And I know your last name. This is, you know, I get in the moment when we're doing the show, and it's just like, boom, whatever pops in my head happens, right?
Don't call me late for dinner, Richard.
Late for dinner? Well, come on. And I'm late for dinner sometimes. So listen, just before a break, we were talking about the Green Sports Alliance and the idea that, you know, the MTS Center and the Winnipeg Jets, they have green activities going on. But I also know that during the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the hottest trends. And I know there's always conversations that happen behind the scenes. And some of the hottest trends are in the area of corporate responsibility and volunteer activities and that. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that when it comes down to being green?
Well, absolutely. Corporate responsibility, actually formerly known as corporate social responsibility, it's been commonly shortened now as corporate responsibility, or CR as the acronym. That is something that corporations are ramping up. I mean, it's been a major initiative for corporations for years now. You think of I used to work for the Salvation Army for the Maritimes Division. I managed PR and fund development for this part of the country, and I can tell you, working with very large corporations wanting to be aligned with the likes of the Salvation Army and the good works that they do in local communities like Winnipeg. And that was a key priority for them, to be seen involved, engaged in their communities. And corporate responsibility is only growing, and particularly with sustainability or going green. And that's what a lot of corporations are looking for now. You take a look at the marketplace and what's happening geopolitically. We just had the Paris conference. We've had a lot of talk and negotiation about a big climate deal around the world. That is only going to continue to build in the marketplace, leading to more of a desire and a demand to be green and to be seen green in the marketplace.
No, let's talk a little bit about that. Let's bring it home a little bit closer to the hearts of the small business owner for a second, right? The mid-level enterprise. Now, we can talk corporations all day long, but I've worked with a number of mid-level enterprises that have instituted some green actions. And part of it is monitoring their idle times in their vehicles and setting switches and some interesting things. But I know that you speak a little bit about the triple bottom line. Can you tell us what the triple bottom line might be for even a small business or a mid-range enterprise that might be interested in some of this?
Well, absolutely. Any business today is looking to attract and retain the best people. And a lot of those are millennials right now. And so sustainability or the triple bottom line is all about people, planet, and profit. How do we run our business in a socially responsible manner, an environmentally responsible manner, and then one that makes financial sense? It's the triple bottom line, people, planet, profit. Now, any company that's focused on that, whether it's large or small, if you're a medium-sized enterprise, you're looking at attracting and keeping those people, the best people. Well, the millennials are really starting to use a company's efforts on going green as a benchmark for where they want to work. You can take a look at this. There's some real interesting market research that Cone Research out of Boston, that's C-O-N-E. I challenge you to look that up online. Google them, Cone and their millennial research. You'll find that really interesting in terms of how the millennials are treating the triple bottom line.
Yeah.
And it's a big deciding factor for many of them, particularly the younger millennials. So if all things being equal, they're looking at two companies to go work for, they may take a harder look at the MTS Center. And I may not be making the best example right here in terms of an option, but you take a look at the MTS Center where the Jets play. And anybody, particularly a millennial, looking at their record for green initiatives online for recycling, all the paper is recycled in their offices. They're doing a huge amount in terms of waste management. You can see all the metrics here. As an example, their kitchen scraps
on their website,
coffee grinds in the building are composted, and that totals about 2,000 pounds per week. That's pretty cool. And a lot of organizations are doing this not only to be green, but to be seen being green as well, because they know this is going to play into their recruitment and retention efforts with employees going forward.
I know that I worked with one organization and their local successful mid-range enterprise here in Manitoba, and they changed their idle times in their vehicles, and they found that they were able to pretty much save around $150,000, $200,000 a year cost savings. And that was money that just went right to their bottom line. Now, for a small business, that's a significant amount of revenue. I mean, that could be another employee. It could be expansion money. It could be an opportunity to actually grow in other areas. You know, and I know that that doesn't sound a lot of, like a lot of money to maybe the big corporations or anything, but for Small Business Canada, that is quite significant. So even small organizations can contribute.
Absolutely. And Richard, what do you have to gross to net that amount of money to the bottom line for a small company?
Yeah, right? Just on fuel costs alone.
And you come around to, of course, idle time, which is what I'm involved with, and that's all about, you know, helping fleets recognize exactly, you know, where they are with their idle time, what to do about it, and how to promote success. And there is an article, my latest column, Idle Free Guys column in Auto and Trucking Atlantic, is entitled The GPS Green Revolution Turbocharged by Our Kids. And I invite you to take a look at that column on our website, which will you can go to our website at thegogreenagency.com, and you'll find where GPS is becoming the required technology for any fleet today. And GPS can measure all those operational metrics of all their vehicles in a split second. So whether it be idle time to harsh braking to speeding, this is what fleet managers are looking at live on a desktop right now.
Yeah, they're
in real
using
time.
They're using it strategically within the organization and operationally to sort of really track what's going on. You know what? We're going to take a short break now. You're listening to Richard Lanin for Set for Success, and we're talking about being green and idle free in your business. We'll be right back.
Now back to Set for Success with Richard Lannan on 680 CJOB.
Hi, and if you've been listening in, it's Richard Lannan. We've been talking about green, and I guess basically being green maybe is the next gold rush. Ron, would you think that being green is the next gold rush?
Absolutely. If you talk to a lot of people in corporate America or corporate Canada, they will tell you that conservation is a huge business opportunity, and I think of it as the next gold rush. If you're in business, one way to help the bottom line is to make sure that you're not losing from the bottom line. And if we're talking about idle time as one example, well, what's becoming apparent now, thanks to GPS technology, is how much that you can save to the bottom line is actually there, while still, you know, allowing the employees to be comfortable in their vehicles. And this is one of those great opportunities, not only to save to the bottom line, but think about it, Richard. If your vehicle fleet is on, it's either on for a good reason or it's not.
Yeah.
And many fleets today have to idle because of operational idle time.
Yeah.
We know that in our business as Go Green Communications. But there is a big bubble of idle time that we can address that's identified on GPS metrics that's not required. So you talk about a mid-sized trucking company here that we've talked to on the East Coast, and they've got about 60 long-haul units, and they've calculated that if we can do the same thing that we've done for one of the big, the largest motor coach tour operator in Atlantic Canada, that they could themselves save about 10% of their fleet fuel bill a year from idle time. And that's about $300,000 a year. So you not only save to the bottom line, but the next thing you want to be able to do is promote that out in the marketplace, which is rapidly going greener, thanks to all of the developments that are happening globally with the politics around climate change and the realities of climate change.
Around climate change, yeah, and we all know now, I mean, unless you've been hiding in a box somewhere, information, you know, goes around the world at a click of a button now, and it doesn't go away. So, I mean, there's some bad information out there, but if you know where to dig, you can find some really great information on this topic. One of the things that we were talking about during the break was just in business alone, I mean, what are the things that the CEO wants to know when it comes to this particular topic?
Well, CEOs, number one, they want to know, how do we differentiate ourselves in the marketplace? It's a highly competitive marketplace out there. So I think one of the first things the CEO wants to look at is, you know, what is our strategy for going green, for sustainability? How might that differentiate us? How is that going to help us be more engaged in the marketplace with the community, with our clients, with our future employees? These are the things that a CEO probably wants to look at, because if they're not aware of the fact that corporate America is already racing to go green, this is a light bulb moment for them. They should be taking a look at this right now. Sustainability is one of the hottest business trends out there. And then the CEO wants to know, it comes down to people. How do we attract and retain the best employees we can find? And sustainability is going to play, I would venture to say, a huge role in that.
Now, sustainability has changed over the years, too, I mean, in terms of what it means, because you're putting a real sustainability from a green perspective on that term.
Well, absolutely. But green also means green to the bottom line. They're probably one of the best examples that I could give, and he's become a late legend. His name is Ray Anderson. He was the founder of and the CEO of Interface, one of the world's, if not the world's biggest, supplier of carpeting to corporations. And I would get your listeners to have a look at the history of Ray Anderson and Interface as an example.
Right.
What they've done with their goals to reduce waste and wastewater and be more efficient in their manufacturing processes and everything else has added up to a huge transformation in their bottom line, what they've saved, their image in the marketplace. And again, that's Interface and Ray Anderson.
He was involved in innovative module floor covering industry, I guess, from a high quality perspective. And if I remember correctly, I think I remember something, reading something on him and seeing a documentary about him, that he actually made his business more profitable by being green as opposed to not being green.
Absolutely. They had something called Mission Zero, putting sustainability at the heart of its business. And he set Interface on course to becoming the world's first sustainable business by 2020, defined as Mission Zero. And it's extraordinary what they've been able to accomplish since that time. Energy use down by 39% since 96. Non-renewable energy as per unit of production is down 61% since 1996,
some huge
and so
numbers.
On and so forth. Greenhouse gas emissions down by 41%. So you can take a look at the rest of those metrics by checking out Ray Anderson and Interface online.
Now, Ron, I mean, you have obviously a lot of information on this as the idle free guy. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, what we've got is our website, Go Green, the Go Green Agency, and you'll find Idle Free Guy's Toolbox. There you're going to find tools and insight on going green, including the history of Canada's, arguably Canada's leading Idle Free campaign in 36 slides with live links to videos and interviews. And one interview in particular is with Pat Ziska, who's the vice president of Motor Coach Industries, which has a huge part of their operation in Winnipeg. And okay. They're the largest motor coach bus manufacturer in North America based in Chicago. Listen to Pat and the interview that I have with her about why corporate America is going green and their industry in particular is.
That's a good reason.
And this will help you think about structuring and engaging and transforming for your sustainability efforts in 2016. You're going to find a lot of insight there.
Okay, that's a good resource for our listeners, too. So that was the GoGreenAgency.com, the GoGreenAgency.com, if you want to actually check out some more information on being idle-free. This is Richard Lannan. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan here, back for Set for Success, and we've been talking today about the green revolution, and actually in this case here about being sort of idle-free, and with the idle-free guy, Ron Zima, and his company is Go Green Communications, and you can check them out at the GoGreenAgency.com. That's the GoGreenAgency.com. I think what we discovered today, that there's a real opportunity to be green in business and in your career. We have generations now, in this case we're talking about the millennium, that are looking for organizations that are honestly into sustainability and have green strategies in place. And as a CEO, you want to attract those people into your organization. We also ended up talking about what it takes to be a green organization. So you should check this out. Being green does not mean that you have to waste money. It means that you'll actually contribute to your bottom line. And it's good for your marketing and basically good for the image of your organization. I want to thank my guest, Ron Zima of Go Green Communications. I think he was a great, great resource for us today. Also, if you want to have any questions for me, it's just richard@braveworld.ca or just go to my website, braveworld.ca. I'd be more than happy to ask any questions or answer any questions for you. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening in. As usual, for my listeners on Set for Success, you make it a great day.